Hello everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday, the 19th of May. The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The Pentecost in Jerusalem described in this story is a unique event in history. It is also a sign, as all miracles are, a very strong sign of God's grace towards men, which had all its meaning and reason for being at this precise moment in history. The period in question here is a fundamental, pivotal period. It marks the birth of the church, the opening of the gospel to the world. It inaugurates a new time, the time when God no longer addresses only a particular people, chosen and well circumscribed, in a given place, but to every person, everywhere, of every origin and every condition. God is the master of time, and Pentecost in Jerusalem that year, at the very beginning of our era, also took place in God's time. Firstly, the time of a birth. Secondly, the time of unification. Thirdly, and then finally, for the disciples, the time of service and commitment. Firstly, the time of a birth. Throughout the period of the Old Covenant, God had manifested himself in different ways to the people of Israel, and he had revealed himself to them only in part. And then, as the prophets had announced, he came in person in the form of a man, taking on our condition as men. In the person of Jesus, God himself came down to dwell among us and to reveal himself in the most complete way. In the person of the Son, who was the perfect image of the Father, God showed us all that we could see of him. He told us everything he had to tell us, and in a definitive manner. As has been said, Jesus Christ is the last word of God in Revelation. The last word, there will be no other. Everything in Peter's speech in particular, which follows the passage we have just read, is oriented towards the person of Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you put to death, says Peter, and whom God has resurrected. Everything converges on Christ, passing through the writings of the prophets and arriving at the latest current events in Jerusalem. And as the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was the miraculous culmination of a long preparation of God and of a long series of prophecies, the birth of the church in Jerusalem is also the miraculous realization of this same perfect, planned plan by God. Jesus had clearly predicted the event of Pentecost to his disciples before leaving them, and he had ordered them to wait for it together in Jerusalem. And everything that happened then in the place where they were gathered really came from heaven. Whether in the form of this violent breath or these tongues of fire, everything is a result of the direct and exclusive action of God at the moment when he deemed it opportune. Nothing that happened was the product of the effort of piety of the disciples. It was not the result of their prayer or their faithfulness that brought this about, but the decision of a sovereign God and master of his plan. This day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, God intervened as he wanted, when he wanted. He demonstrated that it was indeed he, the master of history, who was in the process of bringing into the world his church, according to his will and by his sole power. As at the moment of creation, as with the birth of Jesus, God infallibly achieves the fulfillment of his plan. And this miracle of God on the day of Pentecost is above all the time of unification. As Pascal told us last Sunday, by leaving his disciples at the time of the ascension and returning to heaven, paradoxically, Jesus has now become close to each and every one personally through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost in Jerusalem, the presence and grace of God are thus multiplied, spread over all hearts that open to him without any limits. But if God addresses everyone, it is to bring people together. It's to create a people that belongs to them. At the creation of the world, the Spirit of God was present above the waters. The birth of Jesus occurred through the intervention of the Holy Spirit. Here, in Jerusalem, at the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit is present and manifests himself to each of the disciples personally. The Spirit of God is the author of all beginnings and all births, and he brought about the 3,000 new births of those who constituted the very first church. The Spirit, the breath of God who gave Adam his nature as man and the crown of creation, is this same Spirit who breathes at Pentecost and who acts with the Father and with the Son, through who was made all things. The Spirit acts in everything with the Father and the Son. The three are eternally inseparable. None of the three acts independently of the others. The Holy Spirit does not have a singular message. He does not have a singular mission that would belong to him and that would set him apart. We can never repeat enough the importance of this divine reality, which remains far beyond our reach and our intelligence, and which does not enter into our equations. If the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are named distinctly in the Word, they nonetheless are one in everything, everywhere, and for everything. Our God is the one God who does not split. And since God is one, since he is unity itself, this unique God realizes at Pentecost in Jerusalem the great time of unity. Pentecost in Jerusalem is the story of the very first mission with inexperienced missionaries, but docile instruments in the hand of God. God's action in Jerusalem that day was the first step in evangelization without borders, the first major campaign with simultaneous translation in 15 different languages. And God wanted to address everyone and make himself heard clearly by everyone. Indeed, in this astonished crowd, there are people who are literally upset, there are others who wonder, and finally, there are those who laugh. And what is remarkable is that for everyone, for the respectful as well as for the disrespectful, for the attentive as well as for those who do not want to hear anything, God speaks, and he addresses to all without distinction the same message, because he wants to unite all men on the same foundation and for the same goal. Today, we experience this miracle regularly when we hear the message of the Word of God. This message has a very personal impact on everyone. The same words are heard by everyone, but they are received differently in each heart. It is individually that they reach us and touch us, according to our own experience, our current situation, etc. And if we are together attentive to this word that brings people together, we can only be united. If God certainly does not have to renew any Pentecost in the history of the Church of the 21st century, It is, on the other hand, undoubtedly up to Christians themselves to renew their commitment as disciples and witnesses. Witnesses who make themselves heard and understood, credible and convincing witnesses in our world as it is and despite everything. Because finally, this response from God and his generosity towards the disciples and the crowd is a response that calls the disciples to enter into a time for service and commitment. When thinking about this particular time of Pentecost in Jerusalem, we should not ultimately think only of the privilege that the disciples received. This exceptional privilege of suddenly being able to address the crowd with great confidence and without mistakes, in a language they had never learned. It is true that God's gift is remarkable, but the meaning of this gift is not that the disciples are valued or that the curiosity of the crowd is satisfied. The purpose of such a miracle is not that the disciples can begin their mission with a splash or a magnificent performance. God's goal is service. His project, announced to the disciples a few days ago and which is being realized with them, is that they become his ambassadors, his spokespersons, first there in Jerusalem and then to the ends of the earth. And we can recognize that the miracle is also in the fidelity and courage of these men seized by the Spirit. These disciples, like Peter, who had been capable of many errors and many failures with regard to their master, and who succeed that day in confronting the most sceptical and mocking people. Things have not changed for us today. The time of God's interventions, the time of his responses and his favours, is also the time of our service for him. And service means a very simple provision in his work, in the church, of the means he has given us, of the gifts he has given us, knowing that God does not call us to exploit, but to fidelity, knowing that he does not expect performance from us, but availability and a long-term commitment. Conclusion. The story which begins at Pentecost in Jerusalem is the story of a new people, of a new humanity which no longer knows any discrimination, any barrier, and which recognizes itself entirely in the simple acceptance of the free grace of God. This story is that of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the centuries. This story is ours. We are part of this new people. May our entire life be the visible testimony of a new expectation, the expectation of his return, an active expectation, like that of the disciples in Jerusalem, who gives himself and who serves tirelessly through love for the one who gave us everything. Never forgetting that if God has answered us, it is so that we in turn can be effective translators of the message of his grace in the world. Amen.